Hi everyone, it's great to be with you today. And the reading for the offering this week comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. We are so blessed. We are in a position where we can receive God's love every single day, every moment of the day. And may that be our motivation as we bring our offerings, that we give them to God out of love for him. And as we receive God's love, may we be prepared this coming week to give his love out, that we don't just receive and do nothing with it, but that we show God's love to others in whatever way we can this coming week. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you pour out your love into our hearts so graciously and so freely. Lord, help us to give that love out this week, Lord, to show your love to others, to be a blessing to others. Lord, may we carry your presence with us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Be blessed, everyone.
Good morning. Welcome to our online church service on this Sunday, just after Ascension Day that we celebrate every year. And it was on Thursday, and so today we talk about what does Ascension Day mean, what does it mean for us as a church. And I know that is as evangelicals, as Pentecostals, we often don't celebrate Ascension Day because we believe that Christ is within us every day, that his Holy Spirit is living inside of us, and so we don't need to set a day apart to celebrate him, because he must and should be part of our everyday life. But this day, nevertheless, I want us to just focus on what Christ commanded us to do. What an amazing opportunity to again just read through the scriptures and talk about what happened when the forefathers, even since 68 after Christ, started to celebrate Ascension Day. And so I want to read out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples, remember Judas Iscariot was not with them anymore, went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. So it is assumed to be the same mountain of the Beatitudes. But some even says that it was the Mount of Olives, and we don't exactly know what it meant, but they went to the mountain to go and get direction from Jesus. Now, you must remember now, Jesus appeared to them a few times after his death. We know that his disciples even doubted. We also know that he appeared to them to confirm his appearance, and also to strengthen their faith and to give them a few commands that would help them to establish the church going forward. But this is now the final time that Jesus meets with them before going up into heaven. And verse 17 says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Can you believe that in the same sentence it says that some worshipped him and yet some doubted? Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, this is one of those scriptures that we often remind ourselves on. Why do we exist as a church? Why do we exist as Christians? But it's one of those that, you know, sometimes I see the picture of when I get to a park, and especially here in the UK, you know, it's amazing to go to the parks, and it's so big that you sometimes get lost. You don't even know the special spots that still or that exist in the park until you go to the map. Now, the first thing that you do when you get to a map is to actually ask yourself, where am I now? And you look for that little arrow on the map that actually shows you where you are at this moment and how can you direct yourself toward different parts of the park. Now, I'm very frustrated when you get one of those maps that don't have that little arrow that shows you are here, because it's very difficult to navigate yourself on a map if you don't know where to start. And this is such a moment with Jesus and his disciples. They've come a long way. It's almost as if they say, we've arrived. We've spent time with Jesus. We've had this amazing experience. But what do we need to do now? And for many of us as Christians, you know, we spent years with Christ. We spent years being Christians. And we often find ourselves at this moment of you are here, where you need to go back to the map and ask yourself, what do you need to do next? And this is where Jesus brings him to, is after the devastation of his death and, you know, a lot of persecution even starting because they are following Jesus. Jesus now needs to tell them, what do they need to do next? And so, you know, I've got respect for the dying wishes of a person when they give their last wishes to family members on a dying bed, because those are important words. And if you're a father, it's probably imparting into your son or your daughter the last commands of what they should do. And, you know, they must closely listen to probably the most important words that he has said all of his life. You know, the fact that he's left the best for last. And so this is what Jesus has done. He's left the last of his commands for his disciples now, here on the mountain. And it's almost as if Jesus came full circle. He started his first sermon on a mountain, and now again his last on a mountain again. And we know that mountain experiences was always important in biblical history. And even in Matthew used mountains when he wrote the Gospel of Matthew as very significant moments in Jesus's life. When he went to pray, when he even went through the temptations, when the enemy, the devil started to tempt him. Also, the Sermon of the Mount was on the mountain. The Transfiguration, where Jesus actually experienced Elijah and Moses appearing to him, and it was John and James that watched this whole story unfold. And it was on the mountain that Jesus then met with them, discussed things with them. And John and James said, listen, can't we just keep them here? and so we know that mountains was important. We know that Moses, you know, went up the mountain to listen to God. Elijah had to go up the mountain to listen to God. We know that, you know, the final discourse on the Mount of Olives was on the mount when Jesus gave them the last instructions, or when he prayed and he asked the Father to even let the cup go past him. And then we also know that this last parting scene is now on a mountain, and it's special. It's holy ground. It's a time when Jesus really speaks life into his disciples. And here he says to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not, do you guys think it's a good idea? Do you think it will fit into your schedule? Do you think that you will be able to prioritize that as part of your busy lifestyle? Jesus gave it as a command. We know that the same corresponding scripture in Mark 16 verse 15 says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. I'm working through Acts now with the church, and I must say, if you look at how far they had to go beyond the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to recognize that it was not the gospel just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles and for every nation and tribe that exists on this planet. Jesus had to repeat it so many times. Go to all of the world and make disciples. And so this command was important to Jesus. And yet, when they saw him, they still doubted. Now, we don't know what they doubted. And I must say, I hope it was not one of the 11, because there was also 500 other witnesses that were standing on the lower part of the mountain and observing this. And it still says that some doubted. Now, I recognize in my own life, and I assume some of you as well listening this morning, that sometimes we doubt, even though we've seen miracles that God has done in our lives, even though we've seen him coming through for us over and over again, even though we've told people about the gospel for so many times, and we still doubt, does it have the kind of power that will impact them? We've prayed for healings and we still doubt, you know, can it happen? And yet, yeah, Jesus says that his command is very clear. We should go out and preach the gospel to all the nations. And so there's no doubt in our minds that this command was clear. It's still clear to us today, and he wants us to actually embrace it and make it part of our lives. The second thing that was important about this message was the pastoral side of Jesus. When he said in Matthew 8:28-20, he said, teaching them. So he said, teach them to be baptized, and not just baptized, but also everything that you received. And he says, to observe all that I have commanded you during the 3 years that you've spent time with me. Now, this was ordinary fishermen. It was tax collectors. It was men out of the most simple ways of life. And yet, Jesus gave them the opportunity to become the most significant. And that out of obedience to just tell people what he has done in their lives. If this was the case with the disciples, with the apostles, with even the 500 witnesses, I can tell you it's true for us today. There is a story that you can tell. There is a life that you can share about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God in your life. And so God's good news still today is the central way in which he uses us as his children to give the authority of Christ to the nations. And so the last one is the encouragement, is that Jesus gives us an encouragement in this piece of scripture that is beautiful. The first of these encouragements is that he says, all power in heaven is given to me. Which means that all of the love, all of the wisdom, all of the strength of everything that exists in heaven is given to Jesus Christ. It also says all the power on earth, which means all the power over persons, passions, principles, and movements is given to Christ to bend them to this one high object, and that is to evangelize the world, to reach the world. all of the efforts of the whole of the earth and everything that happens in heaven is focused toward Jesus reaching the whole of humankind to be reunited with God. What an amazing focus. You know, we get so concerned about many things in life, that we will be successful, that we will not be bad in the eyes of the world, that we will have good friends and people that believe in us. And I can tell you, all of those things are secondary to the one main focus of heaven and earth. And that is to reach people and reunite them to the heart of the Father. And that is what Jesus came to do. His whole life existed to show us the picture of what it means to bring people to the Father heart of God. You know, I know many of you might be in the business environment, or in the work environment at least, and you get two kind of bosses in this world. The one is the kind that will criticize you and try to find fault in every kind of work that you are doing. The other one is the one who actually sees your mistakes even as opportunities to better you, to support you, to encourage you to become a better person and a better a worker under his hand. And those kind of companies all of us want to work for, the kind of companies that believe in us, that, you know, encourage us and help us to become better people. And this is what Jesus comes to do in our lives. He is so focused on letting us being successful because we represent Him. We represent the Father heart of God. If there's one central theme to the whole world out there, it is that God's people rejoice and are successful because they have Christ within them, because they have the power of God within them. And so God wants to lavishly just shower His blessings over your life. God wants to see you prosper. He wants to invest in your life. He's a good Father that always celebrates you. And with that in mind, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, and so therefore I can say, go therefore, because I've got all authority and I'm backing you. I want you to be the best that you can be. And Jesus is already ruling over this earth. Now, we sometimes think that that's not the truth. If we look at the darkness that exists, if we look at, you know, even the rulers of this earth and their scheming and conniving, then sometimes if you look at conspiracy theories even, and these days there's a lot of them, you wonder sometimes, you know, it's overwhelming how they plot against the will of God, how they plot with liberal agendas against what God wants. And then we must remind ourselves that, you know, that those evil plots are not even humanly possible, because it's orchestrated in such an amazing supernatural way. And yet we know that our God, the one that we serve, are more powerful, and His agenda is even greater, because Jesus came to rule this earth. And He has chosen us to represent Him and to be the people that can share His goodness to the nations. And so the claim is not that the world is already completely completed as Jesus intends it to be. The claim is that He is working to take it from where it was, under the rule not only of death, but of corruption, greed, and every kind of wickedness, and to bring it by slow means and quick under the rule of His life-giving love. And how is He going to do this? And this is the shock for you today, is He's going to do it through His followers. The project cannot go further if the agents are not willing to share the whole agenda to the world. And so the answer to Jesus's prayer, "Let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," the answer to that is God's children. And this brings us to our second encouragement. "And lo, I am with you all the days." Not one of the days, not someday. He's with us every step of the way. That He's encouraging us. He's building His church. He's tirelessly building His bride to be perfected. And there's no place that He cannot reach us, that is not with us, that we will feel alone and deserted, because He is committed to us. And this, then, the last encouragement, that He will return. Listen to these scriptures. 1 John 2 verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence, not shrink from Him in shame at His coming." James 5 verse 7 to 8. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Revelations 22 verse 20. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And so the believers in the Acts church would always greet one another as "Maranatha," which means, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Come in our lifetime." And our expectation and our encouragement in seeing Him going up into heaven is that He will return the same way, and that He will give us the eternity that we've been waiting for. And so you might think that this message is freaky. You might think that the children of God are freaks. But the children of God loves Him, and He loves them. And so this morning, as we remind ourselves of Ascension Day, remind ourselves of He's coming again, remind ourselves of our role in fulfilling His command, I want to encourage you to receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Not just to know Him or know about Him, but to make Him the Lord of your life. Maybe you listen to this message this morning and you think to yourself, you know, I've known Him in the past. I know Him even on a daily basis, but I don't have an intimate relationship with Him in such a way that I can actually be bold enough to speak about Him to the nations. And this morning, I want to ask you to bow your head before Him. And to submit yourself under the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You this morning, and I give my life to You. Father, maybe I've given it in the past, and then I want to do it again. I want to ask You to come and live inside of me, that You will not just live inside of me, You will come and reign in my life. Father, I want to have the expectation that You are returning soon. And I ask Your Spirit to ignite within my heart a living relationship with You. And today I ask that You will forgive me for the sins that I've committed, because it just brings me further and further away from God, and I feel more guilty than ever before. But God, today I ask that You will come and wash me, cleanse me, come and take away all of my sins. And Father, that You will come and bring me into Your fold, and make me to be a son or a daughter of the Most High. Thank you that you are embracing me today. Thank you that you've given me the opportunity to reach out to you. And I ask that you will live in me forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need anyone this morning to pray with you, please follow the Zoom link after this service so that we can pray with you. I trust that the command of Christ will live inside of you. That if you're a Christian, that it will become so part of you that you will not be able to think of your own ways anymore, but only about the agenda of Christ. Thank you.